into these two psalms, let me pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it is food for our soul. And we pray that you will feed us this morning. We pray that you will speak to us what you would have us to hear, and that we will have obedient hearts. Help us to respond in faith and trust and obedience. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, the Christian claims to have God as their refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Sometimes, though, having God as our refuge place can be seriously challenged. It can be challenged by our own internal experience. Rather than feeling God is with us, we can feel that he is far away, that the intimacy you once experienced, the joy that once flowed, is no longer there. It can also be challenged by external experience, when events such as so-called natural disasters appear to scream out, God is inadequate. And if the event itself doesn't yell accusations at us, the world around us most certainly will. As someone wrote in a letter to the Herald after one such disaster in a most stark fashion, God is dead. So the question for us this morning is, can we still have God as our refuge, or do we need to look elsewhere? And to help us answer that, we're going to look at Psalm 42 and 43. And although separate, they belong together. There is a refrain which occurs in both Psalms, and 43, if you note, it has no introduction, which would tend to indicate that the heading for Psalm 42 belongs to both Psalms. They are a pair. They are to be treated together. And so Psalm 42 starts out in verses 1 and 2 with a longing for a refuge, a longing for a refuge. So we read, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? This is a picture of dissatisfaction, of the deer longing to find a stream of water. A picture of a deer in the desert during a time of drought with an overriding burden to have its thirst quenched. Nothing else matters. And so as the deer pants in the desert, so too the psalmist's soul pants in his spiritual desert. He longs to be satisfied. He longs for the living God. He longs to have his spiritual thirst quenched. Notice the question raised by the word when. When will this be? When can I go and meet with God? When will my time of spiritual longing be over? When will I be satisfied? Friends, do you know anything of this spiritual longing? We have all experienced this from time to time, and for some of us, it's over an extended period of time. When the God that you have declared to follow seems far away. When the shepherd that you have decided to lead you has gone walkabout on his own. Or so it seems. And so you long for this situation to finish. And so you cry out, when? When will this come to an end? Yes, the search for a refuge, but secondly, the denial of a refuge, verses 3 and 4. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Rather than his cry being answered, it continues. Tears have been his food day and night. And then the internal struggles turn to external accusations. His own cry of when is overladen with the taunts of others. And this time it is not when, but where. Where is your God? They cry out. The taunts of others verbalize how he is feeling. He may well be in exile away from the temple and his people, and so the taunts come. They say, where is your God? And he is feeling, where is my God? The satisfaction that he is longing to receive from his God is nothing but a memory. I remember as I pour out my soul how I used to go leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng, but not so now, and that may be us as well. I used to come to church with joy and thanksgiving and with a great expectation, but now it is a burden and I am just weighed down and God seems so distant. Perhaps like the psalmist, our joy and thanksgiving have given way to tears and longing. Brothers and sisters, do you know anything of this taunt from others? The cry of where? Where is your God? With the devastation that inevitably comes in our fallen world, the taunts will come. Where is your God? God is dead, said one. Others have said, I can no longer believe in a benevolent God after some disaster had occurred. There had been letters to and fro in the Herald about where is God when suffering happens. And as we look out and we hear of bushfires in Victoria and tornadoes in Texas and ISIS with all their activities, the question, where is God, comes to the fore. And some conclude God is dead, or at least absent. He's left the phone off the hook. But while we see firstly the longing for a refuge and secondly the denial of a refuge, we see thirdly the choice of a refuge. When our experience and even God himself appear to have denied us a refuge, where are we to turn? Well, to answer that, the psalmist starts with another question. Not his when or his accuser's where, but his own why. He accuses himself at one level. And this is the refrain that occurs three times throughout these two psalms. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And that is repeated in verse 11. And then finally, Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you downcast, my soul? He questions himself, and he also questions God himself in verse 9. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And so in these verses, he does some accusing himself. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed? And he is saying, you needn't need to be. He doesn't deny the experience. He acknowledges it, but then he looks beyond it and answers the question, where can I look for a refuge when God seems far away? And the answer, it is still to God. For he is truly the one who can satisfy his longing. And so the second part of verse 5. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. His soul is downcast because God appears absent, yet he knows that the solution to his longing is only God. To look elsewhere would be futile. As the deer knows that only water will satisfy its longing, we need to know that only the God of the Scriptures will satisfy ours. Which brings us fourthly to the adequate refuge. Why does the psalmist choose this refuge when he seems far away? Because there is no other that can satisfy. Our cries of when will my longing end and why are you downcast is not because we have a weak God. The taunts of where is your God from our enemies does not mean that he is absent. No, the psalmist tells us that the refuge we have chosen is an adequate refuge. Indeed, he is our only refuge. The trouble and spiritual longing that come our way come with God's knowledge and according to his will, not because of his oversight or weakness. If he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. And so verse 7 of Psalm 42, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. In metaphorical language, the psalmist describes trouble that comes our way. They are like waterfalls and waves and breakers sweeping over us, being dumped in the surf and seeming like forever before you come up for air. And whose waves are they? Our enemies? Mother Nature? Do they occur by sheer chance? No. They are God's waterfalls. They are your waterfalls, your waves, and your breakers, says the psalmist. In other words, they come to him from the hand of God himself. And so, as we experience chaos, distress, great loss, suffering, strained relationships, and mourning right around the world, who do you want to be in control? In the ancient Near East, there were myths that the powers of chaos threatened and overcame the gods. Do you want the powers of chaos and evil to be ruling in our world? Such myths, of course, reflect an insecurity in the world, a deep uncertainty as to the stability of human life. Do world events shake your confidence in the refuge that you have chosen as you read in the papers and read back on the activities of 2015 and think, well, this is a world running amok. Who's in charge here? Does that shake your confidence in the God of the Scriptures? Friends, the Scriptures affirm for us that God is still in control. Psalm 29, verse 10, Yahweh sits enthroned over the flood, and his lordship cannot be broken. There may well be a part of you and of me that doesn't want to affirm that God is Lord of all, that somehow the powers of chaos have won through. At first sight, the belief that God is behind the trouble that comes to us is a frightening doctrine. What kind of a God is this whose purpose includes so much distress? But think of the alternative. A God whose purpose is continually being frustrated by evil is an even more frightening thought. Better a God whose mystery we cannot understand than one whose adequacy we cannot rely on or whose interest we cannot be sure of. Let me say that again. Better a God whose mystery we cannot fully understand than one whose adequacy we cannot rely on or whose interest we cannot be sure of. No, friends, when the waves of life's troubles wash over us, no matter how big, may we hope in God, for we shall yet praise him again, for he and he alone is our help. Which brings us lastly to praying to the refuge. In verse 1 of Psalm 43, we get three requests. Vindicate me, defend me, and deliver me. Requests to God, vindicate me, defend me, deliver me. This is no polite prayer session. This is wrestling in prayer. Notice the accusation in verse 2. I've chosen you as my refuge. Why have you rejected me? It's the same as that in Psalm 42, verse 9. It's as if to say, I can understand you rejecting the faithless, but I've chosen you and you cast me off. You put me through this. That's a bit rich, isn't it? We might not dare say it, but we may well think it. Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy, says the psalmist. Friends, isn't it wonderful that the Bible endorses our right to question God at one level, to plead with him for some kind of response to our predicament, while at the same time trusting him? See, we see it in Psalm 22. and many of the other psalms. And so in the familiar Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. For the Buddhist, this questioning would indicate my unenlightenment. For the Muslim, it would border on blasphemy. For the atheist, it's meaningless. But for us, we can do it unashamedly. And friends, may this be liberating. We have God's permission to express our disappointment and to wrestle with him in prayer. And as we wrestle and struggle with him, and as the waves crash over us, let us remember that there was one who has gone before us who has experienced this as well. The psalmist asked in verse 3 of Psalm 43 for God's light and truth to guide him. We know that ultimately that light and truth came in Jesus, the one born of a virgin at Christmas. And he is the one who guides us. And how does he do that? Not as a director of a company who never gets his hands dirty on the factory floor, but as one who lived amongst us, as one of us. I'm not sure if it was a 1970s song, but remember the song, What If God Were One of Us? Who sang that? Who was it? Someone will know. It was number one. I'm sure you'll tell me at morning tea. He lived amongst us. He came one of us. The struggles and wrestling of Psalms 42 and 43 were his struggles. In John 12 on Palm Sunday, he says, Now my soul is in turmoil, and what am I to say? And in Gethsemane, he says, My heart is ready to break with grief. And as he hung on the cross, the accusations pointed at the psalmist were pointed right at him. He is asked mockingly, Where is your God? He knew what it was like when God feels far away. The cry of Psalm 22 became his own cry. My God, why have you forsaken me? You can imagine it. Me of all people. Abandon those down there who mock, but me, your only son? But God hadn't abandoned him. He put his hope in God, and the time came when he praised his heavenly Father again, his Saviour and his God. Friends, so too for us. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For you will yet praise him, your Saviour and your God. Amen. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for us as we start a new year. And as for some of us, the breakers and your waves are rolling over us now with great force. And for others of us who do not know what lies around the corner, but who know that life inevitably involves suffering. We pray for those times when we feel that you are so far away from us, that we might know that you are the only refuge that we can go to. Help us not to look elsewhere, and help us to know that despite the mystery of difficulties and evil and suffering in our world, that we know that you are sovereign, that you are still sitting on the throne. And so may we take heart in that. And may we know that if we put our hope in you, that we will indeed yet praise you, our Saviour and our God. Amen. I think her name was Joan Osborne.
Thanks, Brian. We're going to have our offertory song now, so our offertory will be taken up. If you're visiting today, please feel free to have that bag pass by. And many of us give electronically, so not everybody puts into the bag as it goes around. So let's stand and sing Man of Sorrows.